Turuntuset tulee Joonel.
And today we are going to talk about consumer trends in Russia. To introduce the topic, I would like to say that Russia is in economic crisis right now, but companies that have done business there are not willing to give up and are looking new opportunities. And my first question is that what are the most important consumer trends that are generating new opportunities now? What do you think of them?
The whole Russia in crisis now, I guess it's enough to just look at the historical data, and there have been always ups and downs in Russian market. It's been pretty vital, but that's why it's very lucrative, because when something goes down, it always comes up. And in Russian cases, it's been coming up pretty consistently and always stronger than before. But in terms of consumer trends, I think probably one of the biggest trends right now is, people are being more patriotic. You know, there is a lot of, demand for made in Russia. People are really proud of production that is happening in Russia, and people are, proud that, a product has made in Russia on it. But then again, it's only to some sort, to some group. It applies to only some group of products. Definitely, made in Russia doesn't yet make anybody proud when it is written on a smartphone device.
That's true.
Or car industry.
You could be proud of some of the cars in Russia, and car manufacturing in Russia at some point was pretty good. But yeah, at this point, it's all foreign cars. Definitely. So I would basically sum up is made in Russia in some groups, especially in the groups of products that's been hit by sanctions.
It means food industry would benefit from being made in Russia.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of opportunities for Western companies to bring the know-how to Russia. I think Russia has a lot of now opportunities for companies to open production facilities in Russia. I think Russia is going to look really, really favorably at companies that are bringing the know-how and creating jobs and manufacturing in Russia. And there could be even some subsidies that could be requested from the government, possibly, because I think there is a lot of drive for homemade market.
But it's interesting, actually, that this made in Russia, is it a real demand on the market already, or is it something the state is somehow pushing people?
I guess would be the best way to say, you're throwing really hard stuff at me, state and, generating, demand. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can, but no. Obviously, value for the listener is, my honest opinion, the way how it is. I think what state is generating is a lot of patriotism. I think that's what it does. And then I think Russian people, are starting to notice things vanishing a bit from the shelves. And I don't think there is a state actively trying to generate demand for made in Russia. I think what's happening is Russian people see that those products are now missing from the shelves. And then there is this patriotic feel behind it. And they're like, fine, we don't need it. We have these products that are made in Russia, and finally Russian farmers are going to be able to have a fair shot at this and this, and our own fish is just as good and so forth. So I think it's a combination of patriotism and some sort of maybe, we don't need you kind of feel behind the sanctions.
So it means that the demand hasn't shifted a lot.
Well, I guess I'm based in Finland, and we see a lot of I have a lot of customers in my company that basically sell fish and other products that's been hit by sanctions, such as milk, dairy, other dairy products like yogurt and so forth. And people are increasingly buying more and more of it from Finland. So there is demand for Finnish products and for Western products. You know, Valio still sells really well in Finland. Russians are coming from abroad and buying and purchasing stuff here in Finland. And those numbers have been rising.
And the same with car industry. Because we remember how eagerly they have bought those Mercedes and BMWs recently, knowing that maybe those are the last ones.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I think there's definitely a kind of feel behind it, but you know, a lot of Russians are used to Western products. I don't think it's that easy to really switch. And some of our clients in Russia, for example, that do deliveries. And before they used to deliver, you know, there are some food delivery services in Moscow and Russia and so forth. And before they used to deliver for everything dairy related, they used to deliver, you know, Valio products, for example. Now, there are different, you know, Russian products available, but now there is no strong one brand. They take a yogurt from this producer and they take milk from this and so forth and so forth. So those companies, those Russian companies, they haven't been doing a lot of brand building. So now they're kind of now in a really good situation where they can definitely grow. But Russians, they're used to what they, you know, to Western brands. And I think it will take a long time before that changes.
I know that there are several Estonian companies considering entering Russian market via e-commerce, saying that, okay, we don't want to have a storage in Russia and we don't want to have any intermediators. We would like to just ship goods from Estonia. I just question that, what are the main differences? Is it the e-commerce working in Russia absolutely the same way like in the Western world, or... are there anything that people should pay more attention to?
Well, obviously, e-commerce in Russia is very different. There are a few key differences in Western e-commerce. Consumer behavior is very much oriented on just basically not using service that much. In Russia, they prefer to call, for example. So that's one of the problems you'll hit right away, is that you should be able to give people ability to call you. And obviously, using Russian number, they will not call abroad. Another thing is just translating your website is not enough. If I'm a Finnish company or Estonian company and I just translate my site to, you know, German and we start, you know, shipping our products to Germany, that's pretty straightforward. But in Russian market, it's very much different because there are different set of internet market players, such as search engine, for example, in Russia is Yandex, you know, social media network, the biggest one is VKontakte and so forth. They also have different algorithms. For example, Yandex has different algorithms. So you automatically, you know, the PR and the search engine ranking that you have received from Google, for example, if you open, you know, a Russian version of your website, you might, you know, just have to start from scratch in terms of your search engine visibility, because things that Yandex appreciates are a lot different from things that Google appreciates. Because, for example, Yandex appreciates that you're local and you have to prove to Yandex that you're local and you, for example, operate in St. Petersburg, you know, in order to rank well with others who are competing for the same spot who are local in St. Petersburg. So there is a lot of, you know-how that is related to e-commerce in Russia, and it's pretty much different. And I think going to Russia would even require maybe to just have a different website, completely different logistics maybe system, and payment system is very different. Russians are starting more and more to use their credit cards, but there are still, you know, those virtual money providers like Kiwi and Yandex and so forth. And in order to accept those payments, it's not just as easy as opening a PayPal account. You might have to have a legal identity registered in Russia and so forth. So it's a bit different.
So there is no miracle world opening at the moment when you open your e-store.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of opportunity, and I think about it always this way. Because Russian market is a bit isolated, you know, it provides a huge opportunity. I mean, there is less competition in terms of other foreign companies, you know, and because the barrier is a bit higher. It's not very high. It's just a bit higher. I mean, you know, buying a Russian domain, buying a Russian website, having a Russian phone number, having a Russian, you know, support staff, and working out the logistics, that you don't need to be genius in order to do that. There are already providers for every single thing here. But the bar is a bit higher, and it offers, I think, a lot of, you know, opportunities. It's good that it's the way it is, I think, for Western companies, especially for companies located in Estonia and Baltic regions that have a history of working with Russian and know the mentality and so forth of Russian customers.
If I would ask you very straightforward that, what is the cost of the barrier?
Well, in terms of money, you mean, right?
In terms of money, I mean,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of effort, you know, that's something completely different depending on. But you can get started with, you know, online shop in Russia with something like €5,000. You could probably start, you know, absolute minimum. So like absolute minimum. If we're talking about, you know, bigger store, you know, bigger opportunities, yeah, you might need to put maybe 20,000-30,000 to get started, but it depends on how much you have in-house. If you have a technical expertise in-house and you have Russian-speaking person in-house and so forth, you're gonna be able to reduce a lot of costs. You can just have a logistic partner, and you could have a marketing partner, for example. Everything else you could do yourself. So it definitely depends on amount of resources available to you.
What are the things that would be worth of considering to be sold in Russia now? Let's say if you take the e-commerce example, that do you see any areas that are going rapidly? We hear laughed about the Russian cars or the smartphones, but what are the things that that you might consider selling to Russia now?
Estonian hamburgers?
Yeah, why not?
Be online?
Yeah, well,
McDonald's,
you know,
is closed, so let's start.
Yeah, I mean, hamburgers are made anyway that, you know, they're edible for like 20 years anyway with all amount of chemicals they put in there, but no, obviously not. But I think products that are known for their quality, I mean, Russians trust Western brands, and for example, fashion. I don't think, for example, that Russians are going to appreciate instantly now, you know, clothes that is made in Russia. I think Levi's and, you know, the jeans and, you know, all that kind of stuff is definitely going to be still popular in Russia. So that is one thing that they will definitely still purchase and purchase online. Obviously, there are things like clothes for children. For example, there has been a lot of success in some Scandinavian companies that create quality children's clothes, you know, for like truly little ones, because that clothes is known to be, you know, quality product and lasts for generation from one child to another. So I think those are really good opportunities.
What about the tourism sector, as there have been so many bankruptcies and most of people have feared that Russian tourists are not traveling, at least not far from Russia anymore. But are there any opportunities also if you really consider some kind of, I don't know, platforms selling tickets to different countries or
yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, really good question. I like 10 points. Now, more and more Russian people who before used to do only purchasing of tickets and trips and so forth through an agency, now they're getting more courage and they're looking into purchasing things themselves, the purchasing tickets, hotel reservation, and so forth. So by having a strong brand and reaching to Russian customers directly, you know, you could leverage that Russians generally trust Western companies more than their own, you know, companies in Russia, especially in terms of tourism and so forth. And now they are more used to purchasing using credit cards and so forth. I think there is a lot of opportunity to go directly to Russian tourists who before used to purchase everything to, you know, travel related from a travel agency, you know, to reach directly, you know, to his pocket. That there is a lot of, I think, opportunity there.
So Estonian companies might consider having a common portal targeting Russian tourists, maybe registered as .ru and having local either St. Petersburg or Moscow's phone number, and really to sell all the Estonian tourism packages from there.
Yeah, well, imagine this. Let's just imagine just for a second that there was a portal. There was a portal, Estonian portal, that had all the Estonian travel service providers and accommodation providers in one place. And let's imagine that it also was, you know, free. So you add your company and your services there absolutely for free. And there are activities, you know, things like tours and, you know, bike rental and so forth. But there are also accommodations, the wonderful spas that you have that Russians love, you know, some more exotic accommodations and so forth and so forth. Everything was under one system, all in Russia, in Russian language. One number you call, you can find out anything and everything. But most importantly, you can create your own travel package. So you could just put, you know, I want to travel from Tuesday to Friday, and I'm willing to spend, you know, 600 euro. What can I get? And the system would create different opportunities for you. It could create different, you know, options for you. You could just select, for example, I have a family of three, you know, me, my wife, and we're traveling from Tuesday to Friday. You know, show me what can I do for 1,000 euros. You know, it would be, I think, really, really awesome opportunity for Estonian companies.
Does it work in Finland already?
There are talks, definitely. I think there is a lot of interesting things happening in Finland. I think some other countries have been more successful. Finnish bureaucracy and some maybe unwillingness on some parts and so forth have been making things a bit more difficult. But I can tell you one example is Lomarengas, I think, .fi or .com. Is basically a cottage portal where you can get, you know, cottages anywhere in Finland from one place, and you have access to, like, I don't know, like a billion, you know, cottages in Finland. And they don't even have, at least at some point, they didn't even have a Russian version. So they had a quick Russian web page, just one page, where they gave instructions how to book a cottage using Finnish language.
And it's worked. Popular, yeah?
And it worked. And it worked really, really well. They're growing. They have been growing really rapidly. And if you think about it, if it worked when Russians had to know Finnish words in order to book, why wouldn't it work in Estonia, where you are able to offer them service and in Russian language, payments using systems that are Russians are accustomed to, and using providing service in Russian language, also using phone and Skype and so forth. I think it could be really powerful, and Estonia could also be a destination from which Russians start their travel somewhere else in Europe. So maybe, you know, the packages at some point could include other countries.
Absolutely. What about the medical tourism? I know that Estonian hospitals are really waiting guests from Russia.
Pregnant women are waiting.
Yeah, they are coming. Yes, I know. This is a kind of a group of people who have understood that it's probably better to give birth here in Estonia compared to Russia. I don't know why. But there are different hospitals with very different specialties waiting for customers from Russia. What should they do in order to be attractive?
Well, the thing is, I think there was some study or something in Finland, at least, that basically summarized everything that, you know, still not good enough when it, you know, looked into medical tourism opportunities in Finland. And I think about Estonian e-health sector is that you have to truly provide, you know, Russian experience, not only, you know, that they're used to, not only, it doesn't mean that the doctor has to speak Russian language, but it means everything else. So, for example, let's say a pregnant woman in Russia, you know, let's call her Maria, for example, and she's pregnant, 4 months, you know, pregnant, and, you know, she has a husband and maybe a kid already, you know, like a little girl, let's, you know, call her Anna or something. And so she's looking into opportunities and she's deciding that, hey, I want to deliver my second child in a more safe environment and so forth and so forth. Well, yeah, she could hop on a train and come to Estonia 1 week before, you know, it's her due date. But in most cases, pregnancy-related, you know, hospitalization in a sort starts already many months before. So she has to already have maybe a partner hospital in St. Petersburg where she can start going and provide her blood work and they can communicate to Estonian doctors and so forth. So when she arrives, they have all the information and the process started already way before the due date. But I think it's more naive, you know, to just think that at the last day, they will just appear out of nowhere, just pregnant, you know, and also wanting to, you know, relax at the local spa afterwards. I think the process definitely requires some sort of cooperation with Russian health providers. I think that'd be very beneficial.
I just know that those Russian partners are taking much more money than we are here in Estonia for their service today. So it would be interesting how they could add our service and give it away in a cheaper, but all can happen.
Yeah, obviously. And if nothing else, you know, Estonian hospitals could open a small, you know, I wouldn't say kiosk, but a small office in, for example, St. Petersburg and provide, and all of the, you know, hospitals in Estonia could pay equally to that office. And when you come to that office, you know, you could get all the stuff done so that you can be hospitalized, you know, then in Estonia and have whatever procedures you need done. I think that could be, for example, one opportunity. So when the person is in Russia going from hospital to hospital and just comparing, you know, prices and so forth, you could be right there when he's doing price shopping, you know?
So actually, if we turn back to our first question and asking where is this demand shift, then it seems to me that actually what has happened during those 6 months of crisis or something like that, actually the demand for a Western ear, for a demand for Western goods and services has grown in the hearts of the Russian people.
Well,
do you agree?
Yes and no. I'm very politic.
I would have expected today that answer.
yes. Very, very diplomatic. But I do agree that there are some areas that have high growth now in terms of Western services. I mean, again, just let's go back to the same building block. You know, Russians are not going to all of the sudden turn to tourism in Russia. I mean, it might increase a bit, definitely, but they're still wanting to go abroad, you know, there's still countries are still going to be popular and so forth. There might be a small downturn because of the differences in euro and, you know, rubles. Definitely, yes. But I think there's still going to be demand for the things that we're doing very well before. There's still going to be demand for that because changing, you know, directing demand at the home market, yeah, it's wonderful as an idea, but it takes years of building infrastructure and so forth that Western companies have been doing, that Russia just now may be starting to, you know, to do aggressively. So, yeah, some sectors are still going to grow and there's still going to be demand. But for some, I would say, I guess, politically sensitive, you know, areas, there is demand for, you know, home, well, made in Russia. I wouldn't say demand, but more appreciation. I think that because demand numbers are not out yet. We don't have definitive, you know, yes, Russians want to buy just Russian milk or something like that. There is still debate going on how much of it is stimulated, how much of that is that there is no other alternative available and so forth. So, yeah, more appreciation for made in Russia in some sectors, but still some sectors like medical tourism and so forth are still growing and there is demand for it. And hey, iPhone 6 came out. I can tell you that there's going to be a lot of Russians having iPhone 6.
Do you have already?
Yes, obviously. Of course. I'm Russian, ain't I? Yeah, so definitely, I think it's a mixed bag in a sense. And the winners here are going to be people who are just going to be persistent, who are going to look at the historical data and make decisions not based on today or this month or even this year, but are who are going to definitely look at the long-term trends in Russia and make investments now when it's the hardest and there is much less competition.
Are there any specific areas that do well currently under the crisis?
Do well? Well, I guess things that save people money, you know, things like that improves people know-how, maybe, well, we mentioned already, you know, some of the tourism options such as medical and so forth are doing well. I would say there is a lot of sector, well, if in terms of Russia itself, not maybe so much consumer, but there is a lot of desire to get the know-how. So that is obviously growing, you know. In terms of consumers, well,
what kind of know-how?
Well,
technical?
Yeah.
Marketing?
Know-how to produce good stuff. So
how to make money.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I don't know if you guys have covered and you maybe covered it, but also education is one thing that is really interesting. I mean, education in Russia has been, I would say, challenging. And, you know, getting a degree that works anywhere in the world is pretty hard in Russia, but, well, at least, you know, in terms of language and so forth. So at some point, why, students, that's good opportunity also. You know, you wouldn't have to move really far from your place and you could get an international degree that works, you know, anywhere in Europe and you have an open door to proceed and maybe immigrate to other country or bring the know-how back to your country and be much more valued.
My son is studying in Finland, so I know that half of his classmates are Russians, so this is popular already.
Yes, definitely. It's popular already. And Finnish, some of the Finnish institutions like universities and so forth, polytechnics, they look into acquiring Russian students. And the reason is that, you know, they're very dedicated in terms of graduation percentage. So because most
helps
of
to get the statistics up.
Yes. I was just getting to that. Yeah, definitely. Helps with the statistics and with the government funding.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
Very good. Are there any areas that should be avoided currently? The dropping.
That you're saying that? Don't touch.
Don't touch.
Don't touch. Well, things that are, I guess, well, in Russia, well, things that are maybe currency sensitive. You know, if ruble continues to drop, a lot of things are going to be pretty expensive in Russia in terms of bringing it in and so forth. So obviously things that are related to sanctions, but as my good partner in Russia said, you know, you can sell everything in Russia. So I wouldn't say, well, stay away, obviously, something that could get hit by the big hammer of, you know, sanctions. But otherwise, no, I think it's business as usual. It's just you have to be more careful. You have to be maybe smarter, more agile. But otherwise, no, not really.
Don't worry, you're saying.
Yeah, I guess that's my attitude in life anyway. And, you know, if you work with Russian market long term, you kind of used to, you know, things at some time being a little hectic and so forth. But then again, you know, Russia has been, I mean, I think 2008 is the last time that there have been really like huge, huge dip, and it recovered, obviously. Oil prices and so forth, you know, had a huge part in it. But still, you know, it's just a matter of time before we go up. And a lot of customers, my customers in Finland, are putting a lot of effort into reaching Russian consumers now, exactly at this time when everybody else is kind of pulling back, because they know that now there is a lot less competition. And even if demand is going, you know, is diminishing a bit, you know, or even heavily, still, if there is less competition, then your slice of the market might even grow.
That's true. And my very last question is that if you would establish a company today in Russia, in what field would it be?
In Russia?
Okay.
In Russia. What field?
Is the big winning business idea?
In Russia. Well, I guess at this time in Russia, if I would have to, you know, give some example of what I would do personally, is maybe something related to, well, that's what I do anyway, so it's really hard for me, but I would establish a company that helps foreign companies come to Russian market. So it's very, I know it's not the awesome answer you wanted maybe, but it's just that, you know, things are getting complex, you know, in terms of in Russia, but they need, you know, foreign companies. There's huge market. It's not going anywhere. It's going to still grow and so forth. So, you know, leveraging close proximity to Russia and leveraging Russian know-how and so forth. If I was maybe an Estonian company, I would look into how can I be the guy that brings group of other Estonian or Scandinavian or Baltic, you know, companies and be representative of those companies in Russia and make the big money, you know, do the legwork, so to speak. I give you one small example. For example, there is one company in my city, Oulu, that created a really interesting, wonderful, really cool and high-tech, you know, device. It's a biochemical device, basically a small paper that you just put on your tongue for a few seconds, and it just shows you a sign, should you drive or not? Just a small sign, you know, in a few seconds, and it's as precise as a blood test, and it costs only like 5-7 euros. You know, there is going to be a lot of, you know, market is really big, so something, you know, very high-tech, patented and so forth, they would love to enter Russian market, but they don't really know how. So if I would open a company in Russia right now, it would be a company that had very good access to distribution channels in Russia and could basically easily bring, you know, products from abroad, high tech, not high tech, whatever, and just get a really good commission.
Very good. It's very, very encouraging. And I think that Estonian companies should think a lot about how to compete with the guys like you.
Well, hopefully not too much. Yeah, but definitely. I think Estonia has a lot of opportunity, a lot of smart people, close proximity and so forth. It just needs to learn how to leverage it much better. That's all. I think there is a lot of cool opportunities in Estonia.